Welcome to Through the Word. Here you are on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Nickham and Jonathan Ferguson guide us through the Gospel of Matthew. Now to Pastor Chris.
Welcome back to Through the Word, Matthew 21 today. We've got a lot to discuss here, so Jonathan, take us in.
Thanks, Chris. Matthew 21, and today is about the judgment of the king. The chapter opens with the story of the triumphal entry, where Jesus enters into Jerusalem to the praise and adoration of the people. For the first time, he openly accepts the praises of the people as the promised Messiah. This should have been a shining moment for Israel. Their king had arrived. Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, only to be rejected by the very religious leaders who should have recognized him for who he was.
But things quickly change when the king comes, not in pomp and glory, but in judgment. We're going to start today in verse 12. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers."
Now, the temple compound was made up of the temple building itself, surrounded by a series of courtyards. The first courtyard you entered was called the court of the Gentiles, for a Gentile could only enter this far. If anyone from a neighboring country wanted to visit the temple, he would be barred upon penalty of death from passing beyond this courtyard. So when Jesus entered the first courtyard, he was greeted by priests selling animals for sacrifice, exchanging money so people could pay the temple taxes, and other business ventures. Any Gentile coming to the temple of the living God would see exactly what the pagan temples offered: priests finding ways to take money out of your pockets in the name of religion. Where the priests should have been acting as missionaries, they were instead mercenaries.
The priests had completely lost the plot of God's story on earth, and Christian leaders still do it today. Reminds me of my first year in the South, when I learned about all the traditions of Mardi Gras. They ranged from a baby Jesus figure baked into a cake, which was odd but innocent enough, to a heavy-on-the-alcohol church fundraiser, to all-out bacchanals of drunken debauchery. And if you ask why they're doing it, for God, strangely enough. Back at the temple, Jesus would not have it in his dad's house. So remember, when someone asks you, what would Jesus do? Remind them that making a whip and throwing tables around is not out of the realm of possibilities.
But Jesus also did spit in some guy's eyes to make him see. There are some things that Jesus did that should come with a warning. Do not try this at home. Jesus, after all, was a professional.
This is true.
Now, after the cleansing of the temple, we see an odd story take place. Verse 18. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the tree withered. Now, fig trees bear fruit at the same time that they're bearing new leaves. Since this tree was bearing leaves, it should have had fruit. But this tree had no fruit, and Jesus cursed it. Which brings me to ask the question, why would Jesus curse a fig tree?
Now, the fig tree is used several times in Scripture as a picture of the nation Israel. In Luke 13, Jesus compared Israel to a barren fig tree. Now, in that parable, the owner gives the tree just a short time longer to produce fruit, or else it would be chopped down. Jesus had come and had searched for spiritual fruit in Israel. From a distance, they looked good, going through the motions of activity at the temple. But that was all leaves, not fruit. Fruit would be humble hearts and righteous living. Fruit would be caring for the least, not ripping off temple visitors. Having found no fruit, Israel would be judged. And Jesus cursed the fig tree in symbolic gesture of what would soon follow in Jerusalem.
Later, the priests and elders come and ask Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" In other words, who gives you the right to do what you're doing? Who says you're in charge? Jesus answered by asking them about John the Baptist and where he got his authority from. When the priests, for purely political reasons, say that they don't know where John's authority came from, Jesus says he will not discuss his own authority. Instead, he tells a parable where the Pharisees are shown to pay lip service to God, but are actually in rebellion against God.
There's an important lesson here. why did the priests miss the obvious truth of Jesus? Because they had missed John's message. Because they refused to repent way back when. And as Jesus explains the parable, he says in verse 31, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Again, Jesus is radical. The priests and scribes were the first people you would think get into heaven, and the tax collectors and prostitutes would be the last. Why did they switch? Because blatant sinners knew they needed to repent. Remember, that was John the Baptist's message. And they did repent and experienced God's grace. The religious leaders were relying on their own righteousness. But self-righteousness will never enter the kingdom of heaven. They never experienced grace because they were too busy trying to perform.
And Jesus tells the religious leaders another parable at this point. Verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. Now the religious leaders would have immediately understood this as a picture of God and the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 5 begins with a parable nearly identical to this one, and it clearly states that the vineyard is Israel and the owner was God.
Now notice what happens in the parable. The owner of the land sends his servants to collect what belongs to the owner. His portion of the fruit of the land. Verse 35. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. So the tenants beat up and killed the servants, just as the leaders of Israel often did to the prophets God sent them. But in verse 38, but when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him.
Jesus then asks the leaders what the owner of the vineyard would do to the guilty tenants. And they answered correctly. Verse 41, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Little did they know that they were pronouncing judgment upon themselves. Verse 43, "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." Jesus told the priests that the kingdom of God would be taken from them and given to a people that would produce fruit. Who were those people? The Christian church.
Now, church, before you go and get all anti-Jewish with this, remember, God is not finished with the nation of Israel. There are too many unfulfilled prophecies concerning Jesus' second coming and his rule from Jerusalem. Currently, God is working through a people that are producing fruit, the church. The kingdom of God is growing through the church. But read Romans 9-11, and you can listen to the guides there. God will restore Israel during the tribulation. And Paul warns us as the church, if we as Christians start to think that we're better than Jews somehow, think that we earned this, we fall into the same self-righteous trap that the priests did. When the church becomes the same kind of hypocritical, money-scamming, all-leaves-and-no-fruit racket that they were, God can cut us off just the same. So remain in grace, abide in Christ, serve others, and let the Holy Spirit produce His fruit in you.
Matthew 21, the judgment of the king on Through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend or listen or support it. So thanks for giving. Chris Lang and Mr. Funworth from Through the Word. Jonathan Ferguson is a church planter, and I won't be Kenya. And he's my dad. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.